And indeed, it's my pleasure to be here this morning and be back in your midst. I can't say that I didn't enjoy my time away. You see, there are a few emissaries here from Phoenix, and so I have to be careful what I say. But while away, I ran into various individuals, loved ones, different ones that I would be talking with, and some of the things that my ears would hear distressed me a great deal, and yet I didn't feel like I was in an environment where I could really say too much about them. And I pondered this morning what I would call these things, and so to try, and I know I will not succeed, to be neutral, and quite honestly, God tells us not to be neutral, that He would spew us out of His mouth if we were. But I'm going to call them belief systems that different ones have, that they have a foundation for, but I'm not sure that it's a solid one. These belief systems, by the way, were not prevalent where I was at in Phoenix. They were from different locations around. Don't want to misguide you. We might be able to shorten that sermon this morning, though. How many of you read the Hand of Fellowship? How many of you remember what was there in January? Nobody. Well, I have to confess to you, I read it before I left, I think. If I didn't, I read it while I was away. And I had forgotten about it till yesterday morning when I ran across an article in there that talks about being saved. And of course, all of you know that terminology. You've heard it many times, and you know what some people mean by it, and you know what you mean by it. And too often, those two are not the same. They're a cross. Brother Bill spoke of the fact that we, when we say saved, think in terms of salvation, the ending of our lives. Or maybe I should call it the judgment. And if we give others the benefit of the doubt when they say they're saved, perhaps they're just talking about the fact that they've been saved from the sins of their past, and they're not talking about the future yet. Be that as it may, I invite you to go back and reread that article, because it will prepare you for those moments in your life when perhaps you are confronted with those issues from someone else. The minute you say, "I believe in Christ," are you saved from everything else? Or is there a little bit of work to be done in between times? Well, because there will not be a lot of time this morning, I'm going to move on to another one of those topics that constantly comes to my mind, and I heard it while I was away. Hell is here on earth. It's not a place that you go to later. No, bad things are a part of your mind. Well, I grabbed my Bible because I knew that that's what they were familiar with, and I printed out yesterday all the verses that have that word in them, that word hell. And if my machine was accurate, and if my fingers added up correctly, there was 54 of those references. And when I looked through all those references, I found possibly three that you could say, well, they indicate that hell is here on earth. Two of them were in Psalms, where he talked about the fact, one of them, and he said, whether I be in heaven or be in hell, God knows where I'm at, and he'll put me where he wants me. It kind of takes it away from it being strictly here. Another one talked about the perils of life and how that they became a hell to him, and yet if you read a little bit further, you find out that he turned to God in prayer and he pulled him out of that horrible situation. Most of these came from the Old Testament, only a few from the New. There was only one in the New Testament that might have indicated that hell's here on earth. It's Acts 2 and 27, where he said, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer that thine holy one see corruption. And he was speaking of the fact that Christ would not be left here on the earth, if you want to look at it from the way I understand it. And yet others might conceivably think that, well, hell can be here on earth. But the true understanding of that word was also understood in olden times. Because if you turn to Amos in the 9th chapter in the 2nd verse, and I'm going to read it from here rather than turning in my book, he wrote this. He says, though they dig into hell, thence shall mine hand take them. Though they climb up to heaven, thence will I bring them down. The words of God. He will consign you. They're not something that's just in your mind. There's so many of these kinds of things that are scattered around us that we hear on a daily basis. You'll hear people say, well, the Bible can't be true because it contradicts itself. And I'm going to come back to that one in just a moment also. And another thing you'll hear is, well, I just do what I want to because... who knows what's really going to happen in the future? That might be one way they'll say it. Or, you know, if there is a God and he finds out that, and I find out that these things are bad, well, he'll beat me a little and then I'll have eternal life. Sounds pretty good. Well, I hardly know how to begin here because, you know, some of these are favorite ones with me and others are not so favorite. But if we go back to consider this one about being, doing what we want to, we can turn to James in the 2nd chapter. And we get a little glimpse of what was said back then. So if you have someone you're speaking to that only understands the Bible, you at least have this little piece of information. James 2nd chapter, and I'll start with the 10th verse and read down through the 13th, I believe. James said, for whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. For he that said, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. Now if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. So speak ye and so do, as they which be judged by the law of liberty. For he shall have judgment without mercy, that hath showed no mercy, and mercy rejoices against judgment. We are not given that prerogative of saying well, I can just do what I want to. You have a law that's been given you. It was recorded very concisely by Moses. Pardon me, I need to speak correctly here. God recorded it by his finger on the rock for Moses. And Moses brought it to the people. He brought it to the people because the people were afraid to be in the presence of God. But God in his mercy wanted them to understand what he expected of them. Those who would say, well, the Book of Mormon, the Bible is confusing and it doesn't know what it's talking about. I wanted to give you an example there, and it kind of ties in with this same scripture that I just read to you. If you go back into Exodus, and as I recall, it's about the 27th chapter. It's terrible, I didn't write this down. Yeah, I did too. 27:21. They'll tell you that the book contradicts itself. I'm going to back up just a little bit and read the 20th verse also. And thou shalt command the children of Israel that they bring the pure oil beaten, olive oil beaten for the light, to cause the light to burn always in the tabernacle of the congregation without the veil, which is before the testimony. Aaron and his sons shall order it for everything from evening till morning before the Lord. It shall be a statute forever unto their generations on the behalf of the children of Israel. And then you can go on over in the 28th chapter, I believe it is, and it talks about another thing that they are to do, and it's to be a perpetual or a continual statute before them. And you'll say, well, Christ came and now we don't do those things. So apparently it wasn't perpetual, isn't perpetual. And I would argue with them. And this is my reasoning. When you turn back to the 25th chapter of Exodus, and you read the 8th verse, it says, and let them make me a sanctuary, that I may dwell among them, according to all that I show thee after the pattern of the tabernacle, and the pattern of all the instruments thereof, even so shall you make it. These things were done, these statutes were set up, these, if you allow me to call them policies, were established, that God could dwell in their midst. Christ came. And you find, I believe it's in the 5th chapter of Matthew. Yes. And the 17th verse. And Christ said, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled. And Christ himself even said, whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments, and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. And so they'll say, well, there's a discrepancy here. You know, he gave them these policies that they were to live by back in the Old Testament, and then he comes and he sends his son down here and he tells us some new things. But Christ himself said he did not do away with that law. Well, if that's true, then what was perpetual about it? Well, it takes a lot of reading to cover that one. So I'm going to give you homework like I always do. But go back and read 5th, 6th, and 7th chapters of Matthew there. And as you go through those blesseds, realize that he's telling you, do these things and you're blessed. It's kind of in a reverse order. Be meek. Thirst after righteousness. You know, a person that's thirsty, what does he do? Does he sit back in his lawn chair and say, boy, it sure wouldn't be nice to have a drink of water, but I'll just wait a while? No, if he's thirsty, he'll go find some water someplace. Be pure in heart. You know, another way of saying that is that there is no guile. What I think, I say. What I believe, I do. And so if there is no guile, and if I have said things that I believe, then you know what I'm thinking. And if I do the things that I believe, then you know whether I believe the things which are written here or not. And if you see that I'm not doing these things, then you know that I'm a heretic. In the 13th verse he says, and ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt hath lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. You're to be salt to the earth. You're to give it some flavor. Green beans without any salt is pretty bland. He tells you in the 14th verse, be a light unto the world. Let them see what you do. Do not be fearful of what they might think of you. If you read the rest of his words, you recall that Christ was crucified for the things that he said and for the things that he did. Can you find one of them that was wrong? Well, some of them might say, well, he got angry and he scourged those that was in the synagogue. He chased them out with a cat of nine tails. Was he wrong? He said, they have made my father's house a den of thieves. They probably should have received a much sterner punishment. These are the things that are the perpetual commandments that have not changed. They are the law that has not ended. Not the rituals as we perceive them that they were commanded to do in Moses' time. Those rituals that they went through were to help them to understand what God expected of them. The preparation that they were to make of their lives. When you think about that oil that they had to bring, and the work that went into providing it, it was not a simple matter. You know, you and I will run down to Price Chopper, or if you happen to be from Phoenix, you'll run down to Anderson's, and you'll get a bottle of oil, and you'll just take it, and they'll use it. These people got to press it out by hand. And after it was pressed, they got to strain it. And it says, beat it till it was light. They had to whip that stuff up and get it to where it was the proper consistency. They had sacrifices that they were to provide. Unfortunately, I didn't write down that scripture that tells us that today the sacrifice that's required of you is a broken heart and a contrite spirit. So was the law perpetual or was it not? I believe it was. And if it was and is, then I believe that the book does not contradict itself. I spoke of this perpetual preparation that's required of you and I. That's, of course, contingent on what you want, you expect in the end. But let's turn to 2 Nephi in the 12th chapter for just a moment. Before we do, I want to back up here just a moment. Remember me telling you that these things that are life policies that people live by and the things that they perceive as, well, this is the way I want to be, so this is what I'm going to do. If I want to sin a little and cheat a little and lie a little and take advantage of my neighbor, that's no big deal. I can do what I want. And you wonder sometimes, where did that all start? How did it happen? Well, if you go back to Genesis in the 3rd chapter for just a moment with me. And I'm going to begin at the very first verse and read down through the 5th. It says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of all the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and to eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And of course, you know the rest of the story. Their eyes were opened, and they became fearful, and they hid from God. And we're going through life, even today, hiding from God because we don't want him to know the things that we do. Back to Amos 9 and 2. Though they dig into hell, thence shall mine hand take them. You can't get away. Though they climb up to heaven, thence will I bring them down. You can't climb a tree to get away. They tried to build the Tower of Babel so they could reach heaven. He took them down. Satan, through the serpent, was the first to tell a lie. And if we turn to John in the 8th chapter, he tells us a little more. And I'm going to read starting with the 44th verse. I'm just making sure that I'm not pulling something out of context here and that I don't need to back up a bit. I think it'll do to just to read that 44th verse. It says, "Ye are of your father, the devil." He's telling us that. "And the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God." Pretty sharp words to be spoken by our Savior. Quite honestly, those were the kind of things that got him into trouble. No one wants to be told your father's Satan. No one wants to be told your father is the father of lies. No one wants to be told your father is a murderer. No one wants to be told your father does not want to know the truth. We all tend to look towards our fathers. I realize that's a general statement, but so forgive me, it's generally true. He, being the father of lies, has perpetuated those lies. And he plants them in your mind, and he gives you opportunity to act upon them. Or rather, I should say, you are given opportunity to act upon them, or to determine if they're correct or not. Now to that 12th chapter of 2 Nephi. I invite you to read a little bit more than what I'm going to read, because you'll find out that he's speaking to our generation and the things that go on around us. The fact that we have churches that are built up for gain. And if you don't believe that, you can just look around a little bit and you can see beautiful structures, okay? Erected. And for what purpose? Oh, I go to the church on the rock. Oh, I go to the church that's filled with glass. I go to, that thing that gets us in trouble. I'm going to start with the sixth verse. It says, and they will deny the power of God, the Holy One of Israel. And I've heard that many times. There are no more miracles. Those were just done while Christ was upon this earth so that you would know that he was Christ. The day of miracles has ceased. That is their exact words. And they will say that people, and they say unto the people, hearken unto us and hear our precept. For behold, there is no God today, for the Lord and the Redeemer hath done his work, and he hath given his power unto men. I hate to quote statistics when I don't have them in front of me, but I recall hearing the fact that they had surveyed a number of Protestant ministry, asking them, do you believe in the virgin birth of Christ? And it was astounding how many did not believe it. And if you cannot believe that, how can you believe in Christ? If you cannot believe in Christ, how can you believe in the God who sent him? And if you can't believe in those things, then why do you stand in a pulpit and preach? Hearken unto us and hear our precepts. Go listen to Benny Hinn or someone like that, and he'll tell you that he is the one who heals them. Of course, some of his prophecies kind of go awry. Yea, there shall be many which will say, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die, and it shall be well with us. Don't worry about how you live your life. And there shall also be many which will say, eat, drink, and be merry, nevertheless, fear God. Nevertheless, just show up on Sunday morning. That'll be all right. He will justify in committing a little sin. Yea, lie a little. Take the advantage of one because of his words. Dig a pit for thy neighbor. There is no harm in this. If that's the case, the fence that I need to have built, then maybe I should tell my neighbor, go buy the supplies and I'll give you a hand with it one of these days. And then I just won't get around to it. No harm in that. He's made the investment, now let him build the fence. And do all these things, for tomorrow we die. And if it so be that we are guilty, God will beat us with a few stripes, and at last we shall be saved in the kingdom of God. They're not even sure if they're going to be saved. They're not even sure if there's a kingdom of God. They're not even sure if there's a resurrection. Yea. There shall be many which shall teach after this manner false and vain and foolish doctrines, and shall be puffed up in their hearts, and shall seek deep to hide their counsels from the Lord, and their works shall be in the dark, and the blood of the saints shall cry from the ground against them. Yea, they have all gone out of the way, they have become corrupted because of pride, and because of false teachers and false doctrines. Their churches have become corrupted, and their churches are lifted up because of pride. They are puffed up. They rob the poor because of their fine sanctuaries. They rob the poor because of their fine clothing. And they persecute the meek and the poor in heart because in their pride they are puffed up. They wear stiff necks and high heads, yea, and because of pride and wickedness and abominations and whoredoms, they have all gone astray, save it be a few, which are the humble followers of Christ. Now be careful. Just because you humbly follow Christ doesn't mean that you can then get your head back up there and get a little stiff-necked yourself. Because he says, nevertheless, they are led that in many instances they do err, because they are taught by the precepts of men. We hear these things. We're bombarded by them constantly. It's hard not to have these concepts rub off on you. Oh, it's okay. Go ahead and do 75. I know the speed limit's 45, but no big deal. It's a small law. It's a Class C, I think they call it. Go ahead and build that addition on your house. Forget about that little thing called a permit. You don't need that. Just go ahead and do it. What I'm trying to say to you is apply these things to yourselves personally. Look at what you're doing critically. Decide, am I following the words of Christ, or am I just giving lip service to them? I am not going to judge you. And am I ever thankful? Because if I were, I would not know your heart, and I might misjudge. Another one of those policies of life that people live by is, oh, well, we're all headed the same direction. We just happen to be taking different paths. Well, remember we read in James that in that 10th, second chapter, rather than the 10th through the 13th verses, that he that is guilty of one little infraction is guilty of the entire law. So how can we then take different paths and yet still get to the same place? We have to live by the same principles, the principles that God gave us through His Son, Jesus Christ. If you want to hear those pleasing words and the thing I would like for you to remember, though, are the consequences. And if you'll go with me in that same chapter, the 12th chapter of 2 Nephi, and let's begin with I'll start with 19 because it's the beginning of a paragraph. It says, "Woe unto them that turn aside the just thing for a thing of naught, and revile against that which is good, and say that it is of no worth. For the day shall come that the Lord God will speedily visit the inhabitants of the earth, and in that day that they are fully ripe in iniquity, they shall perish. But behold, if the inhabitants of the earth shall repent of their wickedness and abomination, they shall not be destroyed into the saith the Lord of hosts. But behold, that great and abominable church, the whore of all the earth, must tumble to the earth, and great must be the fall thereof. For the kingdom of the devil must shake, and they which belong to it must needs be stirred up into repentance, or the devil will grasp them with his everlasting chains, and they shall be stirred up to anger and perish. For behold, at that day shall he rage in the hearts of the children of men, and stir them up to anger against that which is good." And others will, and we hear that, we hear that on the radio constantly, or the TV, whichever you listen to, or if you listen to both, you get a double whammy. You find out about the person last night out here in Raytown that decided that two people were just too bad to live any longer, and so he took their lives. It goes on constantly. He says that the anger will rage in their hearts. He stirs them up to anger, and then they perish. For behold, at that day shall he rage in the hearts of the children of men, and stir them up to anger against that which is good. And others will he pacify, and lull them away into carnal security, that they will say, all is well in Zion, yea, Zion prosperous, all is well. My bank account's full, I don't have anything to worry about. Of course, I know not very many of us can say that. And thus the devil cheateth their souls and leadeth them away carefully down to hell. And behold, others he flattereth away and telleth them there is no hell. And he saith unto them, I am no devil, for there is none. And thus he whispereth in their ears until he grasps them with his awful chains from whence there is no deliverance. Yea, they are grasped with death and hell, and death and hell, and the devil, and all that have been seized therewith must stand before the throne of God and be judged according to their works, from whence they must go into the place prepared for them, even a lake of fire and a brimstone, which is endless torment. See, someone told me that hell was only here on earth. Endless torment. I think the two equal each other. Therefore, woe be unto him that is at ease in Zion. Woe be unto him that crieth, all is well. Yea, woe be unto him that hearkeneth unto the precepts of men and denieth the power of God and the gifts of the Holy Ghost. Yea, woe be unto him that saith, we have received and we need no more. And in fine, woe unto all they that tremble and are angry because of the truth of God. If the truth hurts, that's equivalent to being angry over it. And if it bothers you, then there's a problem with you, not a problem with the book and the scriptures. It's with you. It's with me. That's where the problem lies. For behold, he that is built upon the rock receiveth it with gladness, and he that is built upon a sandy foundation trembleth lest he shall fall. Woe be unto him that shall say, we have received the word of God, and we need no more word of God, for we have enough. They won't even believe it. Well, I'm not sure whether there's a heaven or not. Man, that's kind of a deep subject. I haven't really thought about that hard. I don't really want to spend the time on it. I've got other things to do today. For one thing, I could sure use a fix right now. When the fix that they need. It's just a few more pages over, I believe. I did not intend to read it all. I'm sorry, I don't have it written down here. And yet I listened to it in our Sunday school class up front here this morning when David, Gary, what was that scripture you read this morning at the very beginning?
Oh.
I'm sorry, folks, but I've got to read it to you. That's what it was. Now you see how I got confused. I read to you from the 2 Nephi in the 12th chapter, and I have it written right down here, 3 Nephi, but I couldn't see that anymore. Sorry. But this is the fix that you need, and I need, and that the world needs. Behold, I give unto you my gospel, and this is the gospel which I have given unto you, that I came into the world to do the will of my Father, because my Father sent me. And my Father sent me, that I might be lifted up upon the cross. And after that I have been lifted up upon the cross, I might draw all men unto me. That as I have been lifted up by men, even so should my men be lifted up by the Father to stand before me to be judged of their works, whether they be good or whether they be evil. You need to be convinced of that. Perhaps I should say you need to be convicted of that, of its truthfulness. And for this cause have I been lifted up. Therefore, according to the power of the Father, I will draw all men unto me, that they may be judged according to their works, the things that you have done, the principles that you have lived by. And it shall come to pass that whoso repenteth and is baptized in my name shall be filled. And if he endureth to the end, behold, him will I hold guiltless before my Father at that day when I shall stand to judge the world. And he that endureth not unto the end, the same as he that hath hewn, is also hewn down and cast into the fire, from whence they can no more return, because of the justice of the Father. And this is the word which he hath given unto the children of men, and for this cause he fulfilleth the words which he hath given, and he lieth not, but fulfilleth all his words, and no unclean thing can enter into his kingdom. Therefore nothing entereth into his rest, save it be those who have washed their garments in my blood, because of their faith, and their repentance of their sins, and their faithfulness unto the end. Now this is a commandment. This is the commandment. Repent, all ye ends of the earth. Come unto me. Be baptized in my name, that ye may be sanctified by the redemption of the Holy Ghost, and ye may stand spotless before me at that last day. Verily, verily I say unto you, this is my gospel. And ye know the things that ye must do in my church, for the works which ye have seen me do, that shall ye also do. For that which ye have seen me do, even that shall ye do. Therefore, if ye do these things, blessed are ye, for ye shall be lifted up at the last day. If you've forgotten the things that I said in the beginning, remember this. This is what's important. This is what you're living your life for. Not for dinner in about 5 minutes. Not for the afternoon service. Not for whatever you're going to do Monday. Not for Wednesday night. Not for next Saturday night. None of those things count except what you're doing and whether it fits into the mold that our Savior has told us to place them in. Are they the acts that He has told us to do? Or are they the acts of the world? Be a light. Wherever you go, be the salt. That you may receive eternal life.
Thank you, Brother Jim. Let us turn to hymn number 173. Take your bulletin with you. Notice the schedule of events for this day. And enjoy this day in the name of Jesus Christ. 173.